Thank you very much, Madam Moderator. Let me also start by acknowledging and also confirming the intervention by Ms. Juarez that we subscribe fully to the approach that human rights cannot be dealt with in silos. It's cross-cutting and it has to be reflected in every aspect of our interventions. And if there's anything that COVID-19 has reflected is how faulty the approach up to now has been, whether we talk about connectivity. I mean, at one point, over 60% of children in vulnerable communities were cut out of the education system. We cannot talk about innovative social protection instruments if the architecture of the social system itself is already designed in a way that automatically excludes a significant portion or a significant part of society. It is also, I think, it's a very important point she also raised about quantifying human rights. If we look at human rights from a productivity perspective, by excluding parts of society, a country undermines productivity capacity. It undermines its capacity to recover from COVID and also other economic slowdowns. So clearly there is a case to be made there on why human rights are very important for national productivity. And maybe that's the point that we should continue to drum, because politicians react better when you talk about national productivity and so forth. It is also important when we talk about unleashing the capacity or the potential for innovation. Traditionally, when we talk about innovation, we tend to make the mistake of thinking that innovation is what comes from the north and to the south. But the most innovative solutions that we've seen come from the south. The only challenge is that the ecosystem within which they operate is not aligned properly to help scale up or unleash that innovation capacity. And that's where, as a UN system and also partners beyond the UN system, we have to continuously work hard to make sure that we create an ecosystem that unlocks that innovation potential. There's also many examples that we've seen where innovation comes from the south to the north. Now, the only challenge is the transmission channels are normally very, very complicated and they're not accessible to everyone. So we need to continuously make sure that we change that. It is also very important that when we talk about human rights and equity, and particularly gender equity, within the context of technological progress, we should collectively make the effort to make the case that in this day and age, connectivity, for example, should not be spoken of as something that only those that can afford have access to. The cause for universal access to internet has to be taken a bit as a notch up, because unless there is a global acceptance that just like access to clean drinking water, access to connectivity is important. We cannot talk about delivery of healthcare services unless you're connected to the internet. So all these are very important and continuously work with partners to look at how can we find solutions, cost-effective solutions that will ensure that even communities that are not connected in national telecommunications networks also have access to the internet. There are solutions that are out there in the market. We just need to roll them out to reach every part of every community. It is only when we have that universal access to connectivity that we can talk about being able to provide an opportunity for everyone to be able to realize their full potential around innovation. But as a technology bank, and particularly if you look at, for example, access to finance, looking at how the latest in fintech approaches can help improve access to technology, particularly for women. We've just completed work which we piloted in Cambodia and Ethiopia and in Mozambique, looking at how we can use fintech to enhance access to finance for women-led tech entrepreneurs. Because the realities are that despite years and years of global initiatives to enhance access to finance, That is still not happening. Yeah, there was a case, a figure that was mentioned a few days ago that in sub-Saharan Africa in 2021, over $6 billion in FDI went into the tech industry. Only 6% of that money went to women-led entrepreneurs. So that shows the scale of the challenge that we still have to bridge, to be able to say that we have leveled the playing field and created opportunities for everyone. So it is there is still a lot of work that we have to do, and we'll have to continue to push. Thank you very much.